My name is Jim Rome. I am in Southern California. I am live in the Quicken Loans studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. As we move into our second hour, John Morosi is an MLB reporter for Fox Sports and MLB Network. He'll be joining us at 40 past. Next hour, Dana White, UFC president. Huge UFC weekend coming up. Dana White joins us to break that down. Meantime, going back to the end of last hour, I talked about the Dodgers getting it done. They look like they were in big trouble earlier this year. End of April, he said, we will be fine. Dave Roberts said, we will be fine. You know, I was talking to Dan Cilio on 97.3 The Fan this morning in San Diego, and the topic was, what about Dave Roberts? Should he be concerned about his job? Does he have job security? I said, let me be really clear about this. I understand that just winning the NL West is not enough if you're the manager of the LA Dodgers. Believe me, Dave Roberts understands that that's not enough, that they have to win a world championship. That said, it's not his fault that they haven't won a world championship. It's not his fault they didn't win a world championship last year. So I'm not putting this on him at all. It's not an easy clubhouse. That's not an easy team to manage. And sure, they have to finish. They've got to get it done. If they finish this era without a ring, that's a real problem. If they finish without a ring, it is going to cost him his job. I'm here to say the guy's a hell of a manager. And to me, if you're going to fire Dave Roberts, and I sure as hell would not, I love him. If you're going to fire him, you better have a better manager that you're going to replace him with. And if you're going to fire him, you better have a Hall of Fame manager to replace him with. So no, I don't think this guy's managing for his job. He may in fact be. Management may see it differently. If it's me, I'd say no chance. I think the guy's a hell of a manager and runs a great clubhouse. And it's not an easy clubhouse to run. Yasiel Puig calling his shot. Puig was feeling it after the game. You know, again, you might say, act like you've been there before, because you have 5 years in a row. Why are you celebrating that? Why are you acting like that after winning the NL West? Yeah, I don't know, because they were 10 games under 500 earlier this year. When they were left for dead only a week back, they were hyped. They were fired up. They got it done. He was not the only one. Walker Buehler, who I hyped last segment after the game, also was fired up.
Walker Buehler.
This is the loudest I've ever seen this place. We need this all playoff. Sorry, kids. Let's go.
He goes F-bomb with it and then quickly recovers and says, sorry, kids.
Like, sorry, kids. Let's go.
Sorry to all you kids who look up to me. Let's go. Of course, he was fired up. You ever see a rookie take the ball like that in a situation like that, on a stage that big, and shut down a team that was on fire with mashers? I see it working. Getting a lot of this tweet coming in. Jamie in Green Bay. Why did Alvy not run her for correcting you? Jamie, tweet at Alvin. Ask Alvin. Or I guess I could. Alvin, why did you not run Argel for correcting me and saying the proper pronunciation is actually Argel? Alvin, quote, dude, I wish I had that one back. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I think maybe you got a little caught up in the lady clone, the French lady clone in Louisiana talking about the Tabasco factory up the way. Argel in Louisiana. Argel, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jim, it's pronounced Argel. It's French.
No, dude. You did not do that. You can't recreate that. You can't go back. That's not what happened. Alvin's like, oh, dude, David, I took care of it. Didn't you hear me run her? I brought that hammer down on Argel. That's actually very funny. I want to hear that one more time. So how did I mispronounce that? Where did I get that wrong? Argel in Louisiana. Argel, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jim, it's pronounced Argel. It's French.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
Maybe I don't have the ear for it. It sounded to me like I got it. Jamie in Green Bay wants to know, what is that? Alvin's like, I did run her. You heard it. All right, John Morosi's coming up a little later on this hour, so let me empty the tank and talk some more baseball. And if you want to correct me on how I pronounce your name, you go right ahead. She just did. The Brewers are the NL Central champs. Go ahead and say that again. the Milwaukee Brewers are your NL Central champs. A 55-1 long shot at the start of the season. Five games out on Labor Day. And now, after beating the Cubs 3-1, they are your NL Central champs. Not only that, they have the home field throughout the NL playoffs. However, after what I saw yesterday at Wrigley, they may very well have home field advantage wherever they play. Because the Brew Crew rolled into Chicago, and they rolled deep.
Let's go Brewers! Let's go Brewers! Let's go Brewers!
That's Wrigley. Those are Brewer fans running the show in Chicago. And as was pointed out time and time again on Twitter, Brewer fans turned Wrigley into Miller Park South. They're loving every single minute of this ride, and they should be. Because that team is good. And they deserve everything that's coming their way. Manager Craig Counsell said it best, quote, "This is the game we wanted," end quote. And it's not just the players. It's the fans. They all wanted that game. They all really, really wanted that game. They wanted that game and that title, and they wanted it in Chicago. It would have been great to win that division in Milwaukee, but even better to win it in Chicago. And I'm not even going to say that that's a case of little bro punching big bro in the mouth, because it's actually disrespectful to the Brewers and their fans. They're nobody's little brother, even if the Cubs fans want to treat them that way. And they didn't just punch the Cubs in the mouth. They punched the entire National League in the face. Let's go back to the offseason for one moment. Remember that? Remember when very few teams were taking chances in the offseason? Everybody was being careful. Everybody was being cautious. Maybe because they want to stockpile their dough for the upcoming offseason when there'd be a lot of big-name free agents. Or maybe it was something else. But I know this. It was the Brewers who looked around the room and thought, if none of you have the sack to take the big swing or the chance, we will do it ourselves. And they go out and they get Christian Yelich. Did that pay off? This guy damn near won the Triple Crown. He'll probably win the MVP. So I'd say, yeah, that paid off really nicely. They also go out and they get Lorenzo Cain. How did that work? Fifth in the NL in batting, fourth in stolen bases. I'd say, yes, that worked great. So while everybody else waited to be great, the Brewers just decided we will be. They might not have had a window, so they made one. Everybody else was cautious in the offseason, and the Brewers were just busting through the wall, Kool-Aid man style.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As Kane said, no one gave us anything. We just took it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they just ripped the NL Central title, and they did it in Wrigley. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You think that felt any good? Hey, Brewer fan, how'd that feel? Did that feel any good?
Oh, yeah.
I'd say, oh, yeah. Probably felt amazing. Because Brewer fans were making that feel a lot like their house during that game. And the Brewer players definitely made it feel like their house after the game. That was a party that went for hours and it would not stop. And now they are the NL Central champs. Oh, yeah. And they've got the makeup of a team that can make some serious noise. They've got a nasty bullpen. They've got a manager who's not afraid to use it. And they've got bats and clutch hitting and a fan base that is awesome. One of the most underrated fan bases, not only in baseball, but all of sports. Every time a Brewer player is on the show, they talk about how great it is to play in Milwaukee. Anytime any of them come on the show, I say, what's it like to live and work there and play there? Do you like it? And the response is always the same. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like playing there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is this team good enough and deep enough to make a deep run in the postseason?
Oh, yeah.
Is it your year?
Oh, yeah.
And if it's great to play in Milwaukee, if it's great to play in Milwaukee, imagine what it would be like to win a World Series in Milwaukee. Would it be the best thing ever?
Oh, yeah.
You know it would. Hats off to them. speaking of Wisco, let's go to Green Bay. Bobby in Green Bay. Good to have you, Bobby. How are you?
Rome, it's actually pronounced Bobby.
My bad. Sorry, bro. No, man, he's being funny. You're fine. You don't like I'm going to overrule that, Alvin.
Not a very good
Bobby,
call.
What's up? Well, I guess he's gone. I think that's the first time I've ever overruled Alvin when he ran somebody. It's just a joke, dude. He wasn't really correcting me. Anyway, actually, let's go to Bobby in Green Bay. Actually, Rome, it's pronounced Bobby. Actually, Rome, it's Bobby in Green Bay, not Bobby in Green Bay. Oh, my bad. Sorry about that. It'll never happen again. At Wells in the 360 tweets, I love that Yasiel Puig called his shot. What could go wrong? Signed, Matt Hasselbeck.
Seattle has won the toss.
We won the ball, we're going to score.
I was going to say, Hawk, I know that you're not aware of that. You don't know that story. That was awesome. Seattle won the toss. We'll take the ball, and we're going to score.
Seattle has won the toss.
We won the ball, we're going to score.
Except they didn't. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, clones, would you like to hear from John Morosi later on this hour?
Hey, John.
No, Alvin. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alvin, you're all over the place this morning. Anybody want Dana White to show up?
Oh, yeah.
Tight, Alvy. Really tight on that board. Alvin, is it time for a break? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Alvin, you work out whatever the hell you got to work out. It's not Friday. It's not the week that was. I'm not sure what you're dealing with over there, dude. Oh, yeah. You know, there is something to be said, though, for being the best. You know, when you've outrun, outpaced, outsmarted the competition, elite athletes know this. They also know you cannot be the best until you have beaten the best. If you want to compete at the highest level, you need to be strong and stay strong, just like Castrol Edge, the strongest full synthetic motor oil engineered with fluid titanium technology to reduce power robbing friction and to maximize engine performance. Did you know that friction can rob 10% of performance from your engine? You probably knew that. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being lined up across the ball from somebody who's at 100% when you're at 90. Who's got the advantage? The other guy, of course. Castrol Edge is stronger under pressure, reducing friction so your engine can perform at its highest level. It's not only strong, it is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That was tested in the Kurt Orban test, so you know it's true.
Oh, yeah.
That's the strength your engine needs to perform at its highest level and keep you living on the edge. Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. It is in my car. It should be in yours. Castrol Edge.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
John Morosi coming up next segment. Dear Milwaukee and Brewers fans, you're welcome. Signed, Derek Jeter. John in Huntington Beach. Jeets has helped a lot of other teams. Not his own, but he's helped other teams. Yelich had a look at the Triple Crown on the last day of the season. And is probably going to win the MVP. This email says, hey, Jim, I have a legitimate question about playoff baseball. Two, actually. What is it, and does it really exist? Signed, every Mariners fan ever. Mike in Ferndale. This is not the truth. If you were not going to win with the likes of A-Rod, The Unit, Edgar Martinez, Jay Buhner, Griffey, my man Mark Langston, how the hell are you ever going to win? If you couldn't win with those guys back then, sweet Lou Piniella going out to the second base bag, running it out to center field, and throwing it over the fence, that is easily the greatest moment in Seattle Mariner history. Easily the greatest moment in Mariner history. Maybe your only good moment ever in Mariner history was Lou Piniella, an enraged Lou Piniella, running out to the second base bag, pulling it out of the ground and running it to the warning track in center field and heaving it over the wall like Al Order. Look that up, kids. Al Order. He should have gone like hammer throw with it. Kind of spun around in a circle, you know, and then threw it out of the stadium. That's my favorite Mariner moment ever. No, Mike, I see it working. I can see why you feel that way. Why would you know anything about playoff baseball? Why would you even know it exists? You're a Mariner fan. It's a podcast life. All we do now is make podcasts, talk about podcasts, and it's a blast. I love it. Another week of the NFL in the books and another episode of the RPO podcast on your phone or your computer or your tablet or however the hell you listen to podcasts. Point is this, you need to get this podcast. You need to get this podcast, the RPO, Rome Price Opinion. You need to get it because you mainline the NFL just like everybody else once you do get it. And then you can't get enough. And that's what this podcast with Trevor Price is all about, feeding your fix. If you're jonesing for the NFL, I've got a way to feed that fix because we jam take after take and storyline after storyline into a 30-minute all NFL podcast every single Monday. We even throw in some fantasy advice and some gambling picks. And if you already listened to this week's episode and you bet with Trevor, you would have got paid last night. He cashed in on last night's game. He nailed that pick. And let it be known right here, right now, TP is off to a very good start. He's 4-2-1 picking against the spread on the RPO podcast. He's making money. That's found money, free money, because the podcast is free. Check out this kind of heat that my man brings to it every single week. He was all in, as an example, on Earl Thomas yesterday, never coming back and stepping foot into the Seahawks facility ever again.
That guy's a free agent this year. He's a 30-year-old safety with a broken leg and no contract come January. I'm guaranteeing you right now, Jim, he does not step foot in the Seattle Seahawks facility ever again. Not for rehab, not for anything. I went through one of these myself. I busted my back and I tore up L5 and L3. And the doctor was like, okay, you had to go back and rehab. I was like, I ain't going back. I'll rehab here with you. And he was like, we can't do that. I tried to pull something like that myself in Denver, but it doesn't work like that because I wasn't a free agent. He is. The fact he wasn't going to practice, the fact that Pete Carroll was trying to save it and say, oh, he enjoys playing football. Not for you, Pete. There is a problem, and that's why every NFL player understands what Le'Veon Bell is going through. But Le'Veon Bell is in one piece right now. Earl Thomas is not, and that is not fair.
Trevor freaking Price, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. When was the last time you heard a guy like that, with his background, his credibility, and his career, say things like that, talk like that, break it down like that? You don't. You never see that. You never hear that. This is why, for the first time in a long time, for the first time really ever in my career, I'm working with somebody else. I've got a co-host on this podcast because I think that highly of Trevor Price, because if that's what he brings to this. 14 years, 2 Super Bowls, and takes like that. And stories, dude, stories. This guy's got amazing anecdotes. And you never know exactly what you're going to get from Trevor, except that it's going to be real. And he's getting you paid. 4-2-1 against the spread, and he and I both have waiver wire acquisitions every single week to help you out. I'm telling you, this guy knows what's up. And if you want to know also, make sure to find that podcast, the RPO podcast. Every Monday, it drops. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the Android players, the radio.com app, the jimrome.com. Trust me, it's gold. It is gold. I'm really proud of that content. Premium content. Free content. You'll be better for the content. Smarter, and the entertainment level is off the charts. I'm really good, and Trevor is really good. It's a really good podcast, and most of all, it is really free. Make sure you check that out. 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking for you to call the program. John Morosi is coming up next segment. Dana White is coming up in hour number 3. fact, I got to tape another podcast today because the Jim Rome podcast drops on Wednesdays. CJ McCollum, who has a great podcast of his own, is going to join me. So we're going to lay that down today, drop that for you tomorrow. Like I said, it's podcast life. Got a lot of things going on. Let's go this time to Illinois. There's no way this guy corrects me. I know John is how you pronounce John.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. In Illinois.
Hey, John.
Good to have you, John. What's up? How are you?
Hey, what's up? Hey, guess who the sheriff is of my town?
Who do you got?
Howard Buffett, Warren Buffett's son.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. But guess what? Cubs versus Rockies, Sun Tzu. The game, the battle is won before the game, or the battle is fought. You know how we're going to win it?
How?
We got an FBI agent in the dugout. He's got contraband, doobies, game's over.
Hmm. All right, so I'm 2 for 2 on questions. You got any more?
Then we move to this. We go to Boston.
Right.
It's Wahlburgers versus Crekle Burgers. Right?
That's not a good call. No.
Alvin.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Alvin, that was not a question. I like that. I like that guy. That guy was a little different. That guy was weird. I like that. I wanted to get a sense of which burger we were talking about. You know who the mayor of my town is? Howard Buffett. Son of Warren Buffett. That's right. That's right. Slipped my mind for a minute. All right, that was different. John in Illinois. He's got his Cubs over the Rocks. Hey, that's no lock now. That's no lock. You thought your Cubs were going to take down the Brewers. I don't think you want any part of the Rockies or the stud that they're running out to the bump. I don't think you want any part of that, John. But I will give you this. Warren Buffett's son is the mayor of your town, so that's good. Is Howard as smart as Warren? I know he's not as rich. I wonder if Warren is very active in the community. I wonder if Warren, like the richest guy ever, had one of those talks with his son like, hey, just so you know, son, you don't get any of it. We're giving it all away. Either A, we're spending it all, we're taking it with us, or better yet, B, we're giving it all away. We're going to make the world a much better place. You don't get any of it. Let's see. Andrew in Bruce City tweets, the crew went into Wrigley Field, tore the heart out of the Cubs' chest, and took a bite out of it in front of that city, and the cheers from Brewers fans were louder than the gasps of Cubs fans. That's how it looked to me. That's how it felt to me here in California. Nick tweets, would it be awesome to see the Brewers in the World Series? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been awesome for John in Illinois to finish that call, Alvin. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alvin, what's going on, man? This is not your best day. It's all right. You've had 8 million stellar days. Today's just not one of them. At Hitman Canadian tweets, is John playing Trivial Pursuit? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what he's doing. Alvin hammered him. He's gone. John Morosi joins us when we return. Dana White next hour. Did you check out Alex Trebek's act last night? We'll get to that and more. First up, a bottom of the hour sports update as promised. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
John Morosi coming up momentarily. If you want to compete, though, at the highest level, you need to be strong. You need to stay strong like Castrol Edge. It is the strongest full synthetic motor oil. It is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. That according to the Kurt Orban test.
Kurt Orban.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. All right, then, we are joined right now by an expert on the classic PBS show Ghost Rider. He represents NHL Network, MLB Network, Fox Sports. He is a renaissance man. He is John Morosi. John, good morning. How are you?
Jim, I am outstanding, and I'm actually coming to you live from the Dodger Stadium press box, a quiet day after game 163. And I love the fact that on the back wall of the main area of the press box, it has all the names of the greats that have covered the Dodgers over the years. And my friend, your name is in the very first column. Jim
Come on.
Rome, there it is.
Oh, I love that. That is so nice of you to say, John. Thank you very much for reminding the folks of that. Can I tell you, John, off topic, I had my 50th episode of the Jim Rome podcast, none other than the Penguin, Ron Say, my idol growing up, sat with me in the studio.
How about that?
Not good. Not bad,
that
right?
That is awesome. Congratulations. That's Ron Say, one of the great National Leaguers of all time there. That's pretty cool that he was in there in studio. That's awesome.
If not one of the great athletes of all time, John Morosi joining us. All right, John, I love that you're at the stadium right now. In fact, you were there yesterday. You saw Walker Buehler start game 163. This is a guy, John, as you know, who started the season in the minors, and he was then pitching for the division title at the end of the season. What do you make of what you saw from him yesterday?
So impressive. And Jim, I love the fact, as you mentioned, he began the year in the minor leagues. Well, the opening game for the Oklahoma City Dodgers this year in the Pacific Coast League, Walker Buehler started and Max Muncy homered.
Mm.
And both those things happened yesterday for the Los Angeles Dodgers in game 163 to clinch the division. So it was interesting, Jim, just being in the clubhouse before the game yesterday. And you can obviously pick up on the nonverbals as players get ready. And, of course, as we both know, you never talk to the pitcher on the day that he pitches. But Walker Buehler, as a rookie, was there in total comfort and calmness there among his teammates. You would have thought it was March the 1st before a Cactus League game against the Rockies there in Glendale, Arizona. He was so calm, and I think he looked that way on the mound. He reminds me so much of a young Justin Verlander, the stuff, the demeanor, the confidence, the expectation of success. Of course, it's easy to believe that you're going to be successful when you throw upwards of 99. I thought his first eight pitches of the game, all fastballs, the slowest of which was 97. So he brought his A stuff. He was in total command. There were a couple times when maybe his location wasn't there, but I think by and large, Jim, a magnificent outing. Of course, did not allow a hit until the sixth inning. So I think for him, Walker Buehler, what a great outing that was for him. And certainly they'll have him ready to go in game three of the division series against the Atlanta Braves.
John Morosi joining us from Dodger Stadium. John, one quick follow on that and one thought from you. What impressed you more about Buehler, or impresses you more about him, his stuff, which is electric, or his mental makeup?
I think it's the latter, Jim. And I'll explain why, because we see so much in the course of the game now. There's a lot of guys that have A-level stuff. You turn on the baseball game nowadays, and it's a surprise if you're not seeing people that are throwing 96, 97, 98 at some point in time in the game. I think what makes Buehler unique is his ability to synthesize his best game plan and match it against the opponent's weaknesses. I was told from people that have been around him and involved in player development here that really that he has welcomed all the analytic information, all the scouting information, that he has got the intellect to distill all of that into a very coherent and strong game plan where there's not really indecision from him on the mound. I think sometimes nowadays, I think some organizations are still trying to find the right way, Jim, to integrate the analytics with the scouting information and not overwhelm their young players with too much of it. But Buehler seems to be very much at ease with taking everything in. And I think when you pair that thirsty of a mind that he's got with that amazing repertoire on the mound, and you see outings like what you saw yesterday, which was superior stuff matched with an intellect to process it all. And I think that right now, Walker Buehler, of course, a product of Vanderbilt University, I think he's putting that Vanderbilt education to very good use because he is a man in his element there on the mound.
No doubt. John Morosi joins us from Dodger Stadium. So, John, Clayton Kershaw thanked the Dodgers training staff last night, saying in part, quote, "I was not the same guy I was. I've learned a lot how to stay healthy, maybe not quite as stubborn as I used to be," end quote. It's a really interesting comment. What do you make of it, and where is he physically right now?
Well, that's a great question, Jim, and I thought that was really poignant in talking to Clayton after the game yesterday that he brought up the training staff and the strength and conditioning coaches because it's still been a challenge for him. I mean, it feels like he's been around. Sometimes you think of him still as a young pitcher. Sometimes you feel like he's been around forever. And, of course, now we've passed now the 10th anniversary of his time in the major leagues. He has been around for a while, and again, by his own admission, he's not the same guy. I think that he has had to take a different approach. Probably in between starts, maybe to ease off the accelerator a little bit and not quite train as hard to throw as much. He may well be probably – he's probably right now is smarter, is probably smarter than he's ever been, but I think he's had to learn how to modulate maybe his activity in between starts. So to me, Jim, I think he is still in a very good place physically and mentally to now get through the playoffs. And maybe in the past, maybe some of the October struggles that he had were because he had pushed it so hard for so long during the regular season. Now he's had some breaks in between because of health reasons in the last couple of years. Perhaps that'll serve him well. Perhaps he'll have his best stuff later on in October this year in comparison to the past. It looks like he's going to start game one. There's a belief on some people's parts here in L.A. that maybe Buehler has sort of become their ace in terms of the actual performance on the mound in recent weeks, and that Clayton is maybe now more of a co-ace role for Clayton Kershaw, which perhaps, based on where his stuff is right now, Jim, is to his best liking, and it suits him well right now. I think he seems to be very comfortable with where he's at, and Hyunjin Ryu has stepped forward as well. I think right now, Jim, Clayton Kershaw is probably collectively in as good of a spot as he's been in a while in terms of sharing the burden, and I think having Ryu and Buehler pitching as well as they are really puts him in a very good situation for him now in the playoffs, and maybe his own expectations are lower just a little bit, and perhaps that's for the best for him, so he's not getting maybe too amped or too anxious on the mound. Maybe he's actually more comfortable in who he is as a pitcher right now, and I think his comments yesterday spoke to that.
Well said, John. John Morosi joining us. He's at Dodger Stadium. All right, John, let me get your thoughts on the Brewers. They beat the Cubs in Chicago yesterday. They win the NL Central. This is a team, John, that was five games back on Labor Day, and now they are the NL Central champs. The Brewers may not receive a lot of national love. So for the fans who are about to see them for the first time, what kind of a team are they about to see?
Fantastic team that Jim right now has, I believe, the NL MVP, Christian Yelich. He is an extraordinary talent, really in all phases of the game. He's been a Triple Crown candidate this year. Amazing story, too, of course. His brother, Cameron, just discharged from the Marines honorably, and he went to watch his brother play in person for the first time in years over the weekend as he clinches the MVP, we think. So an amazing personal story, family story. But just a great player, multiple cycles here in the second half of the season. But their pitching has gotten it done really unheralded. You mentioned sort of the unheralded quality of their roster, and Julius Chacin getting a start yesterday. Great outing for him. They rely so much on their bullpen. Josh Hader, Corey Knebel has come in and pitched so well here in recent days as well. So I think that it's a great story. They built this team, I think, in a very collective and wise way. A young GM and David Stearns, an outstanding young executive in the game. So I think, Jim, for so many reasons, they're an easy team to root for. Great fan support there in Milwaukee. They'll be an underdog, I think, in the playoffs. Maybe in the first round and certainly in the second round if they make it that far. But I think it's a very good success story for a team. They draw so well there at Miller Park. It's going to be a great postseason atmosphere there in the great city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I think a team that, because of Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain coming in and bringing that world championship cachet to the Kansas City Royals, I think two outstanding moves that David Stearns made last winter.
Two incredible moves. John Morosi joining us for a few more moments. All right, John, what about the Cubs and the Rockies? How do you expect them to rebound from losing yesterday, and how do you see that game going tonight?
So, Jim, I have to say, you look at the matchup on the field, and you think about the Cubs, and they're still in their home ballpark. They've got John Lester on the mound. The Rockies had a tough travel day after a somewhat of a difficult loss here in Los Angeles yesterday. Every reason exists for me to believe that the Cubs win this game. That being said, I think the Rockies, they seem, when I talked to them before the game yesterday here in L.A., very confident, very much at ease, and I think they haven't lost that even after losing the game yesterday. They're going to bring their bats, and I think that you look at the way that I think Mark DeRosa made this point today on MLB Network television very, very well, that you think about Kyle Freeland pitching for the Rockies against the Cubs. He is on short rest, Jim, for only the second time in his major league career. And the reason why he starts this game, of course, he's been an NL Cy Young candidate, but also the lefty-lefty matchup with Daniel Murphy, the lefty-lefty matchup with Anthony Rizzo as well, and hoping that he'll find a way to get Javier Baez chasing out of the zone. The Rockies did not use their A bullpen pieces yesterday. Sungjae Oh, Adam Ottavino, Wade Davis. So I think we're going to see a lefty on the mound to start there for Colorado with the righty bullpen behind him. As good as this matchup looks like for the Cubs, and I believe they should win this game, the Rockies have a lot of reasons to be confident as well.
Do not sleep on them. They are tough. I agree with you, John. Everything seems to be pointing towards the Cubs, but I would not sleep on the Rockies. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if they went in there and they did what they had to do. Last thought, you were also in Boston over the weekend for the Yankees-Red Sox series. with the Yankees. They're facing the A's tomorrow in the wild card game. Because of how good, John, the Red Sox have been this year, it's easy to overlook or forget the fact that the Yankees won 100 games. How do they look to you right now as a team?
Well, Jim, first time ever that both the Red Sox and Yankees have won 100 games in the same year, which just tells you how strong the American League and the American League East in particular has been this year. I look at the Yankees, their lineup I think is now coming together. They've got, of course, Judge back now recently, and Didi Gregorius as well, and Aaron Hicks. They've had a lot of health question marks that have been answered in the affirmative here the last couple of days. However, I'm a little surprised. The news today, Luis Severino getting the start. I would have thought it was Jay Happ. Happ has been so consistent for the Yankees, but they go back to the guy that was their ace last year, their ace for much of this year. But I got to say, I'm a little surprised. It's really a powerful narrative, though, for Severino. Last year, the really difficult start for him against the Twins, he did not even get out of the first inning in that game. We'll see. I'm a little surprised that Severino gets the start, but maybe it's for the thought process of getting the A's lineup in there with their lefties, and then all of a sudden they bring in Happ early in the game to counteract that. Almost we'll see both teams bullpenning their way through the game. So surprise on Severino. I would have gone with Happ, but the Yankees right now healthy, they believe, with Judge and Didi and Hicks. They've got to feel good about their chances playing at home there in the Bronx.
John Morosi joining us from Dodger Stadium. John, one last question, one quick follow. I always appreciate your time. Red Sox do win 108 games. If you had to make an argument against them or maybe point to a potential weakness, what would it be?
The fact that Chris Sale is now just working his way back. I mean, we have not seen him even complete five innings, Jim, in the last several weeks. And the velocity, according to Alex Speer in the Boston Globe, the lowest fastball velocity in his career was his final start before the playoffs. Ominous indeed. And, of course, if they lose game one of that series for the Red Sox, they've got to really rely on David Price in game two. I think David's due to have a big start in the playoffs. But I think Chris Sale, a lot of pressure. And here's a team, Jim, that they have spent a lot of money here in recent years. Their farm system is not really all that strong at the top levels. This is their year to win it. If they don't win it now, the next couple of years, I believe, are going to get more and more difficult in that division as the Rays, with Blake Snell, the Cy Young winner, ascending there. So a lot of pressure on Chris Sale and the Red Sox in game one.
Hey, John, I lied. I've got one more thought. You know, there's so many guys at the MLB Network, and because you work for so many networks, but that's one of them, there's so many good guys at the MLB Network. John, I had a conversation with Eric Burns for our podcast last week.
Yeah.
God, is there a more interesting guy than Eric Burns?
He is the most interesting man in the sports world. Jim.
Next to you. Next to
all
you.
All of the extreme sports that he still does on his own, he's very involved. And here is somebody in Eric Burns. I love him. He thinks not just about baseball, it's about all other things in life and in the world and competition and the passion he brings. Always love working with Eric. I love covering him as a player. I love the fact that when he retired from playing, he went right to playing beer league softball with his buddies there in the South Bay. So he's a great guy. I love Eric Burns, and he brings a lot of excitement to our clubhouse at MLB Network, and certainly every competition he is still involved in. Likes to model all that great behavior there for his family. So he's a great guy. Love Eric Burns.
I love Eric Burns, too, and I appreciate you saying that. He works with the MLB Network, Fox Sports, NHL Network. He is a true renaissance man and joins us from Dodger Stadium. John Morosi, my guest. John, I appreciate you. Great job, as always. Thank you very much.
Jim, I love catching up. It's a great time of year, and my friend, it's great to see your name here on the board, the board of honor here in the Vin Scully press box at Dodger Stadium.
That's nice, John. Thanks so much. I appreciate you saying that, too.
Thanks,
Have
Jim.
A great
Thank
weekend.
You.
It's actually Tuesday. Don't have a great, well, I mean, have a great weekend. Have a great day if you want to. Batman. Alvin, you're just a little slow on everything today. What's up? Yeah, I know who. I know. Have a great day if you want to, Alvin. Have a great weekend if you want to. Have a great day if you want to. Rome, thank you. Have the Batman theme ready if you want to. Hey, Rome, Brewer fan is hyped. They did eat out the hearts of the Cubs and their fans. They also ate everything else. War TV Networks not having to zoom in on fat Brewers fans in between pitches because they have to widen the shot just to fit the fat Brewers fans into the shot. Damasio in Albuquerque.
You have a great day if you want to, buddy.
I plan on that, Coach. Willie Taggart, you have a great day if you want to. Get ready for hour number three if you want to. Dana White next hour. Stay tuned.
Oh, yeah.